Is that on?
Good. Hey, well, I'm excited to share with you guys something the Lord's doing in my heart right now, and a little different than I maybe normally would share, but I don't know, over the last month, the Lord is just doing a neat thing in my heart and just kind of waking me up to who He is. And I started thinking about kind of a series I'd like to do here with you guys for a few weeks, and I just want to title, What If God Showed Up? And I think what I mean by that is I think some of us, including myself, are going through life without really asking the Lord to be any part of it. Or maybe not nearly as much of a part as He wants to be. And so I would just tell you to hold my calls first. Thank you. But, you know, the Lord wants us to be alive in Him. I've been reading a book, and you guys probably read a long time. It came out years ago, but Blue Like Jazz. Those of you who've read, anybody read that book in here? Okay. There's five of you. All right. Well, listen, good. Well, this will be kind of new to you then. There's a part in the book that really struck me, what these guys did on their college campus. And it reminded me of that we have an opportunity, you know, for you guys, especially among your peers. And the Lord's just been kind of raising my awareness around me that there's people around me all the time that don't know Him. And that how I have been unwilling in some ways to engage with them. And so the Lord is trying to go, man, what if I showed up, I could change any heart out there. And I'm not sure that I've really lived like I believe it. I know I believe that. As I read His word, I believe God could change anybody. You look at what He did with Saul and changed to Paul. You look how He took ordinary, unschooled guys, fishermen, and He made them into these incredible vessels for Him. Lord, God could change any heart that He wants to, and I think He wants to use us. Well, these guys on this campus, they decided to put, there was this big kind of weekend. It was kind of the Woodstock of their college. It was the time when everybody just basically got drunk and did all kinds of crazy stuff, you know, just sex and all kinds of stuff. It was just crazy on this campus. And they decided that they ought to kind of come out that they're believers. They had to really let people know, and they figured, man, if somebody asked them or if somebody was looking at their life, they may not even know that they're believers. And they're on this campus where if you even looked like Jesus just a little bit, you would stand out big time. And so they decided it was time to make a statement for Christ. And they decided to do this booth that said, confess your sins. And one of them actually came up with the idea, the writer of this book, Donald Miller, came up with that idea, and he said it as a joke. And these folks just said, oh, that's a great idea. And he's like, no, I'm kidding. We wouldn't put out a booth that says, confess your sins. And what I love about it is when I first heard that, I go, I wouldn't do that either. That wouldn't be my choice. But as they began to talk about what they meant by this confess your sins booth, it was very different than you might think. I think the first thing we think of is that someone would set up a booth and all these crazy people doing all this crazy stuff would come by and see this. And they would be convicted because someone's over there going, you guys are missing it. But what they decided to do instead, which I think is a much more incredibly great way, the way that maybe the Lord Himself would lead them to do it, was they decided instead of others coming to confess their sins, they would confess their sins to those who came by. Man, I just thought, what an incredible act of humility. And so what they did is they set up in this booth and people came by and you know, some just probably came by, okay, I want to hear, confess your sins, what does that mean? And he said, do I need to confess what I'm doing this weekend? And they were kind of making light of it. And they said, no, in fact, I'd love for you to sit down because I need to tell you how sorry I am for the way that Christians have represented Christ. And they went and he said, I want to confess to you that I haven't represented Him well. And they confessed a lot of things through history, guys. In the name of Christ, there's been a lot of stuff done poorly in our history. And so they just confessed things that they said, hey, well, I want to let you know, we didn't love you like we should have on this campus. There's been things that have happened down through history that we just need to confess. You just ask your forgiveness. And what this guy said was this first guy that came in, he was kind of, oh, no, you don't need to do that. You know, he was kind of an awkward. And I'm going to tell you, what I'm learning is when we humble ourselves, and I struggle with this every day, when we humble ourselves, God really wants to use us. And you know what I love about this idea these guys came up with was that they got creative. And they asked the Lord, you know, what would you have us do? And then they used this great idea. And you know what? I think there's ideas for you out there. It may not be that one. But I think part of the reason that we don't have any ideas of how to creatively humble ourselves and reach the lost and reach our friends is because we aren't really asking the Lord to show up. And we aren't asking Him, Lord, help us. Would you help us reach lost friends? Would you help us reach those who don't know you? Maybe those who know you, but they're not walking with you and they need some encouragement. And I'm sharing this message with you, not because the draw is coming up, but that's a great example. This week, you ought to be creative on how you ask some people to come hang with us at the draw. The draw will be a totally a waste of time if just we show up. It just will be. I mean, I love the fact that you guys would have fun, but I want to tell you, the reason we do the draw and the reason we work as hard as we do on it and the reason that we're going to spend money from our church and all this stuff to do this is because we want it to be a place that you can bring people and not be embarrassed of it. And it may be a creative way that people could come and see. Let's be honest. Some people think about Christians, they think you guys are the most boring, non-fun people in the world. And I couldn't disagree more. I think following Christ and knowing Him is the most exciting, greatest life there is. And what I want them to know is that you don't have to put everything away to come and hang with some believers who love Christ and can have a good time. Maybe don't have to do other things that other people might think you have to have a good time. But man, what an opportunity. Please don't miss it this week. If you haven't asked anybody yet, you need to. Because it's going to be a really great night. It'll be a great way for you to broker your relationship. And maybe you do something creative in the way you serve them or the way you ask them or whatever it is. In Ephesians 3, I want you to see something. I think what I want you to understand and what I need to understand is that Paul's praying for the people of Ephesus here. And I just want to remind you of this again. I pray that of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with His power through His Spirit in your inner beings, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you also being rooted and established in love may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ and to know this love that surpasses knowledge that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness of God. Y'all, here's what I believe. If we would live that kind of life, if we would dwell with Christ in our hearts, see that dwell has this feel of permanence, like He's hanging out there. And I want to ask you a question. Is that your walk with Christ? Does He dwell in your heart? When you're walking with Him, do you go, man, the Lord is there all the time. I just sense because I'm walking with Him. I've got a relationship with Him. Or is it, man, He's really just when I need Him, and He's only certain times of the week, and then it's over. And you wonder why God's not using you, and you don't feel the fullness of God because you're not really experiencing that because you're not really seeking Him. I love what David shared a couple weeks ago, the challenge is to be in His Word, you know, to know Him, and that we can't really be something if we don't really know. We can't really be a follower of Christ if we're not spending time with Him. The other thing I loved is rooted and established in love. Rooted in love means that we understand what Christ did for us, that we root ourselves. There's a sense that if we would dig in deep and we would love others like Christ loves them, that we would be incredibly effective for Him because love is the greatest gift, the Scripture says. These three abide, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. See, the last thing is that you'd grasp God's amazing love for you. And when we do understand that, it's easy to love others. I love the picture in the Scripture of a sinful woman who comes up to Christ and begins to wipe His feet with her hair and her tears. And anoints Him. And there's this picture of, you know, where she understood that she'd been forgiven. She needed to be forgiven by the Lord. And she comes up there and He who has been forgiven much, the Scripture says, loves much. See, the problem with us, I think, maybe a problem with me, is I don't realize that I needed to be saved and forgiven. And when I realize that, how great God's love is for me, then I want to love others with that same love. If I don't, then I kind of love people the way I would want to love. And it's kind of superficial, and I love those who I like, and those who I don't, I don't. This week, I think a few weeks ago, I told you a story about an older gentleman that came out during Braden's birthday party. And he came out over, and I had a big megaphone out. I was in a referee costume and some bike coaching shorts. And I was out there with this megaphone having fun with these seven-year-olds. And this guy came over, and he was so mad at me for using the megaphone, okay? And it was 10:30 in the morning, okay? And I was like, thought it'd be safe. And he comes running out of his house, and he comes down, and he goes, "Can you know you can hear that megaphone all over the neighborhood?" And he's all fired up. And I thought, man, he's going to fit into say some bad words in front of my sons here, and I'm going to have to go escort him out of my yard. Okay? That's the way I felt. And I said, "Man, I am really sorry." That's what I told him. I said, "Well, sorry that we bothered you." And he's like, "I'm trying to sleep." And he runs off and heads back to his house. Okay, well, I'm going to tell you, that whole day, I wrestled with, do I want to go down there and let that guy know what an imbecile he is? That's what I wanted to do. Okay? Every bit of me wanted to go down there and say, "Hey, I don't know if you recognize, those were 7-year-olds, and you really made a fool of yourself." That's what I wanted to do. And I was so just praying, like, "Okay, Lord." And you know what I felt in my spirit? Like, maybe I should go talk to him and have a different approach, but I thought, he's just a crazy old man. Kind of like those grumpy old men that were here tonight. And so I didn't go down there. Well, the other day, I'm out getting in my car, and there's the guy in his yard. And he's out there working in his yard. And I thought, the prompting of the Spirit was, "You need to go talk to him." Okay, and I was like, "Oh, nah. Man, that guy chewed us out. He was being ridiculous." And so I see him head in the house, and I thought, great. And I said, "Lord, okay, here's how this is how you guys have done this before, too. I said, if you want me to go talk to him, he'll come back out." Okay, well, let me just tell you, kind of like Gideon when he put out his fleece and he said, if it's wet this time, or I was kind of testing the Lord there. And guess what? He comes right back out of his house. All right? And I go, okay. And I want to tell you something. What I had to think about, I had to be rooted and established in love. Because you know what? I wanted to love me and say, "You wronged me." And that was the problem. Well, I went over to him. And I said, I had my megaphone. No, I'm just kidding, I didn't. I went over and I said, "Sir," I said, "I just really want to ask your forgiveness for the other night or the other day." And his reaction was, "Oh, that's fine." And he goes, "I just was," you know, he kind of started making kind of excuses for what happened. And I'm going to tell you, in the next 15 minutes, that guy ended up sharing incredibly painful things with me about his life. He asked me if I was a Christian. And I said, "Yes." And he goes, "I want to show you some things I've written." We had this incredible talk. And you know what it started with? It started with this deal of me, which is, this is what God's working on me. I'm not telling you, this isn't about me. But me being obedient to what the Spirit was telling me to do. And you know, sometimes you guys have such opportunities at school. The Spirit's telling you to go talk to somebody. The Spirit's telling you to invite somebody to draw. The Spirit's telling you to talk to somebody about Christ. And you're just going, "Oh, if he comes back out and he spins, he's break dancing, then I'll go over there." All right? You kind of make it where it's got to be this really crazy thing. And I'm going to tell you, if the Lord's prompting you, I was so thankful that I went over this guy. You know what? It wasn't easy, and there was part of me that wanted to go, "I still need to talk to you about it." And maybe sometimes that would be the right thing. But this guy began to open up about his marriage with his wife that has been in trouble for 3 years, and how they have a really hard marriage, and he wants to be faithful to the Lord. And I ended up praying with him. I said, "Can I pray for you about that?" And he said, "Oh, yeah, that'd be great." And so this whole, but what it started with was this act of humility and this act of something that most people would say, "Man, he did you wrong. You shouldn't go over there." And see, when we start believing that God could use us, we can believe that God could show up, we're going to be amazed sometimes how the Lord would work. And it's not always going to be that. I might have gone over there and he'd say, he might have got angry with me. But I want to tell you, I knew the Lord was telling me to go, and so the answer was yes. Where's God doing that in your life right now? Who's somebody right now that God, you know the Lord is prompting you to get to know or build a relationship with, and you're just going, they're not really my type. They don't really fit in with me. I don't really get to hang with them. They're at lunch only like 5 minutes, and I don't see them very long. Who is it? And how would God want to use you? I'm telling you, it was so great to come off that deal and just realize, man, Lord, I was obedient to what you wanted and you used it. What if God showed up? What would it look like? Last thing I want to share with you is this passage from Exodus. This passage will teach a lot of ways, but Moses is in this situation where, you know, he's trying to lead the people of Israel. And it's really not easy. They're just like you and me. They're all of a sudden God blesses, they're great, and then when God doesn't do exactly what they want, or they get a little bit wandering, or they get distracted, they end up doing stuff that God didn't want them to, and then he comes with the discipline, so to speak, okay? And then they repent, and then God blesses again. It's the same cycle. Well, it says, Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me to lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Here's what's going on with Moses. He wanted to know what was up. You guys like that ever? You want to know how God's going to work exactly. You don't want to wait and just go, Lord, I want to trust you. What I could have done with that older gentleman is just said, Lord, what if I do go over there, what are you going to say? How's this going to work? But I didn't know what sin, so I just prayed. I said, Lord, you just, man, lead me. Help me to be humble before him. And so here's Moses going, who are you going to send with me? How's this going to work? And he says, you have said, I know you by name and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may what? Know you. See, I wonder if we want to be taught God's ways because we want to know him and we want to have his presence in our life. Let's go on. Okay, you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. The Lord replied, this is what I want you to hear. My presence will go with you and I will give you rest. See, what Moses knew and what God was telling him is, I'm going to show up just like I have faithfully this whole time we've been out here in the desert. I'm going to show up in a great way. And then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you're pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? Y'all, this is a great word for you tonight. If the Lord's presence, if you're not seeking him and you're going, I want to go reach some people, or maybe you're going, I want to have the desire to reach people. If you don't realize that if the Lord's presence doesn't go with you, you might as well not go. And here's the deal, is that we need to know God's word. We need to be established in love. We need to have all these things so that we know him, and then it's a natural overflow into other people's lives. I love what Moses says. He goes, what's going to distinguish me among the people? You know what? Is that what you want? Do you want to be distinguished in a sense that people would go, you are a Christ follower? I hope so. And what you've got to ask the Lord where it starts is that prayer that Paul prayed for the people of Ephesus. It starts with you understanding how deep and how wide God's love is for you. And that you'd have the full measure of him and that you could go out and reach others. Here's the thing I'd ask you to do this week and start this series. I'd ask you to say, Lord, I want you to show up. You're faithful. Your word tells us you are. And you know what's happened? You haven't moved. I've moved. And I want you to move through me. And I want you to use me. And I'm going to ask you to raise my antenna so that I see the opportunities in front of me. And Lord, I want your presence to go with me. And you know what I believe he'll say? My presence will go with you. And I'll give you rest. Man, what a great thought for all of us this week. Lord, if I don't tomorrow at school, if I hit that school tomorrow and your presence isn't with me, then I'm not going to love people well. I'm not going to share my faith. I'm not going to invite people. I'm going to just think about me. And there's everybody else around me is thinking about me really well. I'll fit in great with that crowd. But man, I'm going to ask you guys, if you mean it, and ask the Lord this week, Lord, would your presence go with me? And would you use me in a way? Would you maybe show me a way I could humble myself before someone and show them your love, or invite somebody to the draw, or invite somebody to church, or whatever it is. What if God showed up this week and used you? Let me pray. God, I'm so convicted by this word. I love when you're working on me and I get to share it with others. Or if your presence didn't go before us, we're helpless and hopeless. I'm reminded of your word. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. We work hard at a lot of stuff, but we reach no one. We're fruitless. And God, I think you want to use these young people. I believe those who know you, that I know you do, you want to use them as someone who represents the King. Lord, I want to ask you to show up in my life this week like never before. And I know it's not a question of whether you're willing, it's a question of whether I'm willing. Because I know you're faithful and you want to use me. And you want your presence to go with me and you want to give me rest. Thanks for your love that is so high and so deep and so wide that we can love others because of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, couple of announcements real quick. The draw this Saturday. We'd love for you to sign up tonight. If you're bringing friends, let us know how many because we are trying to get the right amount of buses. And man, shoot a little high. If you think, man, I think maybe I could have five or six or whatever, man, give us the high number so that we have enough spaces for you, okay? The other thing is ski trip, like we said, that there's about, I think about seven spots left on the ski trip, okay? If you are interested in going with us, we sure would love for you to go. It's going to be a great, great trip, all right? And the last thing is if you're new tonight, fill out a club card for us, and we will see you all next week or this Saturday at the Draw.
Daddy's belt, mama's drapes, standing tall in the backyard shed looking cool in my Superman cape. I told the neighborhood girl, said, hey y'all, watch this. My fate was a broken arm and my reward, one big kiss. When Daddy asked me why I did it, I made him laugh out loud when I told him, cause the chicks and dig it. Scars heal, glory fades, and all we're left with are the memories made. Oh yeah, pain hurts, but only for a minute. Your life is short, so go on and live it, cause the chicks dig it. Oh yeah. Blacktop Road, learner permit. Didn't see the ditch. Dug out a mailbox, then a fence, and then a barn. The police came and called my father, but I met the farmer's daughter. And when the judge asked me why I did it, he threw the book at me. When I told him, cause the chicks and dig it. Scars heal, glory fades, and all we're left with are the memories made.
And some gasoline, and I drove out to the county fair. When I saw her for the first time, she was standing there in the ticket line, And it all started right then and there. Oh, say the sky made a perfect sunset, and that's a day I'll never forget. I had a barbecue stain on my white t-shirt. She was killing me in that mini skirt, skipping rocks on the river by the railroad tracks. She had a suntan line and red lipstick. I worked so hard for that first kiss, and a heart don't forget, something like that. Well, it was 5 years later on a southbound plane. I was headed down to New Orleans to meet some friends of mine for Mardi Gras. When I heard a voice from the past coming from a few rows back, and when I looked, I couldn't believe just what I saw. She said, I bet you don't remember me. And I said, only every other memory. I had a barbecue stain on my white t-shirt. You were killing me in that mini skirt, skipping rocks on the river by the railroad tracks. You had a suntan line and red lipstick. I worked so hard for that first kiss, and a heart don't forget, something like that. Like an old photograph, time can make a feeling fade, but the memory of the first love never fades away. I had a barbecue stain on my white t-shirt. She was killing me in that mini skirt, skipping rocks on the river by the railroad tracks. She had a suntan line and red lipstick. I worked so hard for that first kiss, and a heart don't forget, no, a heart don't forget. I said, a heart don't forget, something like that.
You want a million needs. I said, nobody with no one, and being me ain't really all that fun. Leaving her wasn't very smart. Admitting I was wrong wouldn't be so hard. If it was cool to be a fool, I'd be the hippest guy around. If a heartache made you famous, I'd be known from town to town. If tears were made of pennies and a cold beer brought her back, my bank account and self-esteem would both be in the black. And if some Hollywood producer made a movie that was sad about some guy who lost the best thing he ever had, hey, I could be a star if it was cool to be a fool. But we all know the way it really is. You don't get recognized for doing things like this. You spend a lot of time feeling sorry for yourself. It doesn't really mean that much to anybody else. If it was cool to be a fool, I'd be the hippest guy around. If heartache made you famous, I'd be known from town to town. If tears were made of pennies and a cold beer brought her back, my bank account and self-esteem would both be in the black. And if some Hollywood producer made a movie that was sad about some guy who lost the best thing he ever had, hey, I could be a star if it was cool to be a fool. Be the hippest guy around. If a heartache made you famous, I'd be known from town to town. If tears were made of pennies and a cold beer brought her back, my bank account and self-esteem would both be in the black. And if some Hollywood producer made a movie that was sad about some guy who lost the best thing he ever had, hey, I could be a star if it was cool to be a fool. Hey, I could be a star if it was cool to be a
gone. But ain't nothing like watching a bunch of youngins run screaming through the sprinkler in their little bare feet. Ain't nothing like finding $20 in the pocket of the britches that you wore last week. Of your life, and ain't nothing like knowing the Lord's coming back one day to make you want to do right. Watching a bunch of youngins run screaming through the sprinkler in their little bare feet. Finding $20 in the pocket of the britches that you wore last week. Ain't nothing like throwing a hula popper, dragging it across the spot and begging on me. Ain't nothing like having him for supper with some good hush puppies and some sweet iced tea.